And it's a privilege once again to be with each and every one of you as we come to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22. Let me just share my screen. And we start with Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." As we see here, we are seeing that John, Apostle John, is being showed a pure river of water, the water of life. And he describes it as a pure river. River without any contamination or any problems as far as bacteria or other things in that water. It is pure, it is clear as crystal, which means that we could probably see from the top of the surface of the water all the way down. It is so clear and talks about the purity of that water. And then it also gives us the origin of the source of this river. And that's what's most exciting about this, because it proceeded out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So this is from the throne of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I've got a picture that I'd like just to show you. This picture here in the middle, this is the throne of God. And from the throne of God and of the Savior, we see this river winding down and coming down. And this is the river that is flowing through the streets of heaven. So it is something very amazing. However, if you look in the book of Ezekiel, and to my memory, it is chapter 47, there also there is a river. And that river starts from the temple in Jerusalem, where Christ Jesus will be ruling from. And that river ends up in the sea. And that is during the millennial, start of the millennial kingdom. We see that picture. So here we see, and we are already in eternity. During the time of eternity, our life in New Jerusalem. That's where we are, and that's where we see this pure river of the water of life. And it is clear, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne and of the Lamb. And then we read in verse number 2, "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." So let's look at this verse. It says in the middle, in the midst of the street of it. So we know there is this river that is flowing down the streets of heaven, and its origin is from the throne of God. And besides the river is the tree. And here it is mentioned in the singular, there was the tree of life. And it says, this tree of life bears fruits, and one type of fruit every month. The reason for which we do not know, but it's amazing to know that this particular tree, the fruit tree, bears different fruits every month. And it says it yielded her fruit every month. And it says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now a question arises that there was no illness during that time. So why does these nations need the healing? It could be for preventive health. It could be just for general maintenance of health. rather than for illnesses. So these leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Now, when we say the nations, where are these nations? It is of particular interest that the residents of New Jerusalem will be the believers of the age of grace, our time. We are the ones that will be living and residents of this place called New Jerusalem that Jesus had promised us. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if it is not so, I would have told you so. I'm just paraphrasing. And he says, I will come to receive you unto myself so that where I am, you can be also. So this New Jerusalem looks like it is an exclusive place for the believers. Now, we also know at the beginning of eternity, there is a new earth and new heaven. And it is in this new earth where we find these residents of these nations. If you look in Matthew chapter 25 and verse starting from 31, we see the last judgment of the nations, where when Jesus Christ takes over the millennial kingdom, he will judge the nations of this earth at that time. He will bring to the right hand of his, the sheep, and to the left hand, the goats. And on those that are on the right hand, he will say, enter into the kingdom. And on the left, of course, they will not. And so it is these nations that is talking about here. They will be the residents in this new earth. Along with them will be the saints of the Old Testament and also the tribulation saints. So there will be quite a bit of population of those, and probably there'll be more spoken of about them in the latter verses, and we will look at them too. And then it says in verse number 3, and there shall be no more curse. Now, this is a great statement and great promise which God is giving to us. There shall be no more curse. And we will look at that a little bit more in detail. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. So what is this about the curse? Let us look at Genesis. Since the fall, man and creation has lived with the effect of the curse. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, we see as a result of the fall of man, God had put a curse on the women, and he said sorrow and pain in childbirth for women. And secondly, he said the necessity of hard work for man's living, which means man had to live by the sweat of his brow. And the third curse was death. Because of the fall of man, because of what has happened with falling into the temptation that was given by the serpent, what happened was this earth became a vast cemetery. That's all I can say. And that was a sorry state. But once we get into eternity, that curse of death is gone away. There will be no more death, no more sorrow. And now in verse number 3, it says, we shall have no more curse, which is a very positive thing for us. And we can rejoice with that. And then he says, and the throne of God, and there will be the throne of God, and the Lamb shall be in it. So the residence of God the Father and God the Son, which is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, they will be the residence in this new Jerusalem, where we will be. What a great honor and what a great privilege that is. Can you imagine that day when we can look at Jesus face to face? And what a glory that is going to be. And it says, and his servants, shall serve him. Now, we are the servants. We are there to serve him. We are not going to be idle. We are not going to be bored in eternity. We have got service to do, and we will see what we are doing. We will be the priests of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We will be taking care of things for our Lord. And what a great privilege that is. So when we go on to verse number 4, and it says here, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So we will be identified with the name of Jesus. I've got a picture here. We will be sealed, the seal of God. And it doesn't say Jesus here, but this is a picture that denotes the statement here. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And then it says, and they shall see him face to face. This is a great privilege for us as believers, that we will be residing with our Lord, with our Savior forever and ever. And as we know that there is no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, and now we understand there is no more curse. And verse number 5 says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And who are they? They, we. We are the ones which will reign with Christ forever and ever. There is no more night there. It is only daytime. There is no differentiation between day and night, because the night is gone. It is all daytime. And there is no need for any other light. We don't need the sun, the fusion of the sun, the mechanics of the sun by which light is produced today. That is not needed anymore. Neither the sun, nor the moon, nor any other source of light, except the Lord that giveth the light for the entire universe. And New Jerusalem will be the central planet that will emit this light. And that light will never go dim. And that's what we see. We will reside in this New Jerusalem, serving our Lord and constantly and praising our Lord. And it also says no need for candle, which means there is no sleep at that time. For those that love their sleep, this is the time to do all the sleep that you want. Sleep in a little late, as long as you're not late for work or school, you can sleep. Get to bed early, early to bed, early to rise. And do all of those now, because once you leave this world with the children being children of God, we will no more have night. And in verse number 6, he said, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. So here the angel is telling Apostle John that the sayings that have been mentioned are faithful and they are true. They are the promises from God. And anything that is promised from God will be fulfilled, no matter what the time period is. We know the promises that was promised to Abraham and the prophets, they will all come to pass. It may not be fulfilled during, and it was not fulfilled during their time of their life, but it was fulfilled. And God's promises will be fulfilled. That's what the angel is saying. These sayings are faithful. They are from a faithful God the Father, God the Son, and they are true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets send his angel to show us unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. So these are promises that have been given to us by God. Some of us may say, well, these promises were there from the first century. This is John, the apostle, that is writing this. And why has some of these not happened? It is a valid question, but we do have an answer. But I will just give it to you as the words come by in the verses that we will be reading shortly. Let us go to the next one. It says that we shall and they shall reign forever and ever. So heaven will be the place where God's people will reign forever and ever. We will be the priests of our Lord God. We will serve him forever and ever. We will reign with him, whatever he wants us to do. As we look at when the Bible opened in the book of Genesis, we see that paradise was lost. So here, as we close this chapter, the book of Revelation, and also the book of the Bibles, we see that paradise is gained. We see that return of paradise in the ideas that has been introduced to us as the river, the tree of life, the going away of the curse, and reigning being resumed. So we have regained paradise, which was lost by our ancestors, as we see. And then he says, behold, I come quickly. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Behold, I come quickly. This is the promise. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So Jesus saying, I am coming quickly. So we know that this saying has been there since the first century. The question is, what happened? Is our Jesus really coming? Some question that. He says, you've been speaking this for over 2,000 years or close to 2,000 years. And what happened? So some of them have questioned this statement, I come quickly. Now, Jesus, when he comes, it'll be sudden. You see, his coming is going to be sudden. And that's probably where the meaning is. To Jesus, 1,000 years is as one day. And that is the description that we read in the scriptures. He says, behold, I come quickly. That's a promise that he is coming. And we see that when you look at this chapter, we just count how many times he will tell us about his coming. This is the first time he has told us, and we will see this again and again, and we will see he's telling us of the surety of his coming. We should realize that today we are one day closer to his coming. And he says, they are blessed, which is a beatitude. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And we are supposed to bless our Lord for the promise that he has given to us. And then in verse 8, he says, And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which he showed me these things. You know, as we were studying one of the previous chapters, we saw the emotions of Apostle John, and we see another event that Apostle John is doing. He was so excited when he heard this, that his Lord and Savior and our Lord and Savior is coming. He is coming, and he's coming quickly. And when he heard this, he was so excited, so emotional, he fell at the feet of this angel which showed him these things. He was so excited, you know, and he has known that he's not to do that. And the angel reminds him again. In verse 9, then saith he, the angel, unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. And he says, worship God. We are not to worship anything else. We are not to bow down to anything else besides our God, our Savior. We are to only worship him. This is a reminder again from the last chapter of the book of this of the Word of God. It says we are not to worship anything else. We should not have any other idols, no idols, no other person or individual to be worshipped, not even an angel. And that's what this reminds us. A picture here saying, surely I come quickly. It'll be an amazing day when our Lord comes. We, as we sang this morning at our service, and we are looking forward for the day when we will be taken up in the rapture. And what a day that is going to be. And in verse 10, it says, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You see, this is the same thing that happened when the prophecies are in the Old Testament that Jesus is coming. Jesus will be coming into this world. He'll be born in this world. And you know, when it truly happened, what happened? The Jews, the children of God, the chosen children of God, missed his arrival. And this is not to happen anymore. We need to be looking forth to his arrival, and we need to be telling others about Jesus Christ so that we can bring them along with us to the place that he has made for us, this new Jerusalem. And he says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. There are people that are unjust and filthy and leading a poor, filthy life. And he's saying, if that's what you choose, do so. But you need to come to me, and what you have heard about me, believe in me. And he that is righteous and holy, let them stay righteous and holy. One of the answers that I heard from a preacher saying, why hasn't Jesus come so long? Because he has told us about close to 2,000 years. You see, he's waiting. He's being patient. He is being merciful. He's being gracious for the souls that have not come to him. He's waiting for that last brick to be laid on that house so that he can come. He's waiting for that last soul to be saved so that there will be those that will enter into the kingdom of God. And that's what he's waiting for. It's not because he doesn't want us to be with him. He's longing for us. And that was the reason why he came into this world, so that he could give his precious blood for us. As it's only by the shedding of the blood will there be remission of sins. And in verse number 12, he says, and behold, I come quickly. Look at this. This is the second time he's saying this here. He says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Here in this chapter, we don't see an explanation of what the reward is mentioned here. I'm sure there's a lot of rewards for those that have been serving him, that have been true to him, that has come and have had a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. And in verse 12, he says again, I come quickly. And he says, I have got that reward with me. And that's what he's saying. Let's look at the next verse. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And we read this in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. I am the Alpha and Omega. This is the Greek alphabet. He is the Alpha, the first letter, and the last letter, Omega. I am the first and the last. First and the last, the beginning and the ending. After all, he is the Word of God. And that's what he says here. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And again, another beatitude as we see here, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. It is very important for those that may be listening here today or have received the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they have not accepted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day for you to accept Christ. You see, we should not just pass by or just overlook what you have been told, what you have read, or what you have understood, maybe from a sermon, but to heed to the call of the gospel, because it is only by believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ will we have a place and a future in New Jerusalem, the place that he is preparing for us. He said, blessed are they that do his commandments, a beatitude which is mentioned here in the book of Revelation. And they will have the right to the tree of life, the right that was lost in the Garden of Eden by Adam and Eve as a result of the fall of man. The sin nature crept into every man since that time. And those that follow his commandments believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that they may enter in through the gates into New Jerusalem, the new city. Now, another verse here, verse 15, for without our dogs and sorcerers, which are those that are involved with pharmaceuticals or drugs, and warmongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You know, I try to understand what this exactly means, and it is a difficult verse to explain this verse that is given here. However, it is saying that no matter who you are in this life, if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with Jesus, after all, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for his children. And so we read that here. And anyone that do not know Jesus Christ as a savior, they need to accept him today. Now I've got a list of beatitudes here, a total of 7 beatitudes that is mentioned in the book of Revelation, 2 of which comes in this last chapter. One is, I am coming quickly. Blessed are those who keep the prophetic message of this book. And that is verse 7 and verse 14. Blessed are those who will have washed their robes clean, so that they will have the right to feed on the tree of life and can come through the gates into the city. These are the 2 last beatitudes as it is mentioned here. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. He truly is our Savior. And then he says in verse number 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And so Jesus commanded his angel to tell these things, to teach these things in the churches. And this is a great privilege for us living during the time of the church age, the age of grace, that we can learn because this book has not been sealed. This is an open book so that we can understand. And so now we should not have a problem if we keep reading this book and making an effort to study the promises and the judgments this world is going to go through so that we will have an incentive to tell others about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not give up even if one does not come to Christ at the time that we tell them, but we are to give the gospel and plant and lay the seed, the foundation of the seed for them so that they can finally come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he's the root and offspring of David, the son of David, according to his earthly description. And he is the bright and morning star. Who is the bright and morning star? It is Jesus. And we also have seen in the earlier chapters in the book of Revelation that he is described as the bright and morning star. This bright and morning star is Jesus. This is the star that we call Venus, which arises just before a daybreak, and it's a bright star, and occasionally we can see that even at night. And then we see in verse number 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. We are the bride. The believers of the Lord Jesus Christ is the bride of Christ, and we are saying, come, Lord Jesus. And he's promised us he's coming. He's waiting for everyone that he has chosen to come to him. And the Holy Spirit is also saying, come, because the Holy Spirit that is in us helps us to ask our Lord to come. And, you know, there is a reward. There is a crown reserved for those that look forward for his coming. And he says, and let him that heareth say, come. Everyone that heareth, believeth, we should say, come, Lord Jesus. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever, this word means anyone, everyone, whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. All it is there is for the asking. All we have to do is believe. There is nothing else that we have to do. And it says, for in verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, this is a serious warning. This cannot be taken lightly. What does it say? He's saying that any man that add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And we know what the plagues are. I have a small list of the plagues here. These are the 10 plagues that Egypt went through because they refused to let the children of God leave from the land of bondage. But here we see this is a serious warning here. You see, if you look at it, I was looking at who and which groups may be these, and I found a few of them, and it is very sad that we see that there are people, organizations, and institutions that have been adding and taking away things from the Word of God. If you remember, one of our initial presidents, Thomas Jefferson, he had taken away some words from the Word of God. I do not know if you have read about this. It was Thomas Jefferson created his own Bible because there were certain things that he did not believe, and so he took it out. This is a warning that those that do that, the plagues that are written in the Word of God will be upon them. Do you know there is another Bible that is there, which is mentioned? It says Queen James Bible. And I understand that this is the gay people's Bible. You see, we call our Bible the King James Bible. And so they twisted that and call it the Queen James Bible. What audacity do they have to do that? But that's the work of the devil. And we know, and we need to pray for these people because the effect of Satan is upon them. And also there is another Bible where the words from these Bible has been changed, and they call that the Bible of the JW group. And they have turned and twisted some of the words of the Bible. And then we have a nation that is rewriting the Bible, which is the Chinese Communist Party that is writing the Bible so that they can write the narratives and the words they want that the people need to read. And that is a big no-no, and they are not supposed to do it, but they are, but they are. And so the warning here is, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And I showed you the plagues. The other plague is leprosy, that also should be mentioned here. And then let us look at the last few verses. And it says in verse number 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from things which are written from this book. So anyone that adds or anyone that takes away anything from this book, adding or taking away, they will be punished with the plagues that is mentioned in this book. And then he says, he which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. This is the third time in this chapter, in this short chapter, he says, I am coming quickly. Amen. He agrees to that. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then he concludes the last verse, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He ends this book by extending the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a promise that is. And I'd like to go ahead as we close off this chapter and this book by singing the first stanza of the words, Amazing Grace. Let me close with a word of prayer. I appreciate once again for each and every one of you being with us and sitting through this study of the book of Revelation. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for this great privilege of studying the book of Revelation. Father, we thank you that you have told us nothing in this book have been closed. And that you have allowed us to understand and learn the book of Revelation. What a great privilege that is, O Lord, for us to study thy word. And in this last chapter, you have told us three times, I come quickly. Father, we know that you will come, and you're waiting for the last soul to be saved and added into the kingdom of God. Thank you for all the promises. Thank you for all the assurances that you've given to us, O Lord. You've been so amazing and so good. Thank you for the promise of the mansions that you're building for us, the home, that marvelous city, New Jerusalem. Father, we can't wait to come and be with you and be in that city. Once again, thanking you for each one that is here. We pray for each one, O Lord. Bless each one, we pray, and bless those that need special needs and for whatever they need, O Lord, and we pray that you would bless them. Thanking you and praising you once again, we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.